And dear colleagues, let me call you colleagues. Because yes, we are colleagues here to each other. We are here to enhance patient care and also enhance our own personal spirituality. So we're talking about spiritual care, education of healthcare professionals. Now, you've been receiving information about me, but there's a bit more. Let me tell you what it is. I am a member of the Society of Christian Education, founded in Malta by St. George Prager in 1907, with the aim of personal discipleship and evangelization. That teaching is in my blood. It's really flowing in my blood. My presentation today is based on the literature review, including my research, clinical and educational experience. This speech will include introduction to educational spiritual care, definition of spirituality in illness, definition of spiritual care, personal experiences of spiritual care, theoretical education, integrating theory into practice, spiritual leadership, and recommendations. The International Council of Nursing, Code of Ethics, specifies the nurses' role of promoting an environment in which the human rights, values, customs, and spiritual beliefs of the individual, family, and community are respected. This is supported by the Malta Code of Ethics for nurses and midwives, stating that the nurses do recognize and respect the uniqueness of every patient, biologically, psychologically, social, and spiritual status and needs. Since patients are attended by diverse members of the multidisciplinary team, the scope of ethics address also the holistic care of the healthcare professionals, which contribute towards patient safety. Examples of some heroes in nursing are given, whereby their being in care generated signs of spirituality in their attempts to address patients' needs, and their caring attitude instilled hope and healing. Florence Nightingale proposed that the environment which includes the caregivers should do no harm to patients. Patient safety may be achieved by individualized spiritual care, whereby care is given according to patients' biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual needs. Similarly, Mary Seacole, known by soldiers under her care in the Crimean War as Mother Seacole, because she met six soldiers so kindly. Mary, a person of mixed race, suffered from prejudice and racism. However, Mary mixed medicine with kindness. She is an admired role model to nurses and health caregivers. Elizabeth Cadwalader from Wales volunteered to nurse the six soldiers in the Crimean War with Florence Nightingale in 1854. Betsy was put in charge of the special diet kitchen and made sure that the soldiers had good food produced from the best ingredients. Her biography says that Betsy was devoutly religious, and the small Welsh Bible given to her when she was young remained her constant companion and appeared to help her overcome the disappointments of her distorted plans in life and accept her situation in life. Then she traveled widely around the world and we also visited Malta. During the last 25 years, care of patients has been criticized for neglecting the spiritual dimension in patient care. This may be due to various reasons, such as unwillingness to deliver spiritual care, lack of time, work overload, feelings of incompetence to deliver spiritual care, and lack of education which generate omission of spiritual care. Also, secularization of the contemporary society and the medical model, the attention of which is the imminent occupation and its progress is cured, we shall overlook the spiritual dimension in care and space to address patient's religious needs and spiritual needs, and thus strengthening holistic care. The aim of this paper is to present modes of theoretical and clinical education of spiritual care of healthcare professionals and students, and outline the dimensions of spiritual leadership to sustain the learning process. Definition of spirituality in itself. Spirituality is derived from the Latin word spiritus, spirit, the essential part of the person, which controls the mind and the body, and the mind controls the body. Patient's religion may shed light on the interpretation of the spirit. For example, as a Roman Catholic person, I relate the spirit to the spirit of God within me, which gives me life day by day. Also, spirituality is the power within a person, which motivates the person to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in life, suffering and death, and fosters hope to one's will to live. It infers that spirituality is the divine divine force which unifies all aspects of the human being, including the religious component. However, spirituality goes beyond religious affiliation as it strives for inspiration, meaning, and purpose in life, even in those who do not believe in any God or higher power. Consequently, spirituality applies to both the believers and non-believers, including the presence of different cultural and religious beliefs. Thus, a person who is in tune with his vital unifying life force of the spiritual dimension, a more balanced state of physical, mental, and social behavior. In order to define spiritual care, and in order to understand patients' conceived holistic needs, let's try to put ourselves in the position of these clients, seen in this video clip. You might wonder then what spiritual care means. Just think about it. What if you, or rather, what if I were to be one of the patients seen on the video clip? It could be reality to you and me. A person becomes a patient. What if it means? And so how would I want to be treated as a patient? These answers may contribute towards spiritual care. Definition of spiritual care. Spiritual care is part of the art of nursing and professional care. Spiritual care is defined by the literature as recognizing, respecting, meeting patient spiritual needs, facilitating participation in religious rituals, communicating by listening and talking with the client, being with the patient by caring, supporting, showing empathy, promoting a sense of well-being by helping them to find meaning and purpose in their illness and overall life, and referring them to other professionals, including the chaplain or pastors. The outcome of spiritual care was found to enable patients to count their blessings in life, achieve inner peace, and explore coping strategies to overcome obstacles during illness and crisis situations. Also, spiritual care may help patients to find a new equilibrium in faith by reconceptualizing the self as one with known and loved by God or higher power in the context of their specific illness. The essence of spiritual care is being rather than doing. Thus, therapeutic use of self is of utmost importance to generate a trustful, healthy relationship. The role of the multidisciplinary team is to help patients find meaning in illness and purpose in life, with a positive outlook to life and or after life. But spiritual care is not merely the delivery of care which matters, but it includes the heart and the spirit by which holistic care is given. In order to address spiritual needs both in health and in illness, competencies are needed, composed of the caregiver's knowledge, skills, and attitude. Hopefully, the competency framework developed by my colleague Josephine Alcard from Malta as part of her PhD studies will soon be completed and hopefully published to guide the education on spiritual care competencies. This will also be presented in one of the symposia sessions in this conference. While considering the characteristics of students who are undertaking the nursing, medical, and paramedical education programs, who are usually of young age, with lack of personal life experiences, and with minimal attention to spiritual issues in life, as educators, it is very important not only to equip students with loads of information, but also attention needs to be given to their personal formation as spiritual individuals who find meaning and purpose in their profession, and to help them develop the necessary skills and attitudes across their education programs in class and in the clinical practice. This process will contribute towards transformation into a professional healthcare being who becomes responsible and accountable for holistic patient care, including the spiritual dimension of care. Students and healthcare professionals need to achieve competence, that is, acquiring knowledge, skills, and attitude. Spiritual care competence is defined as an active, ongoing process characterized by three interrelated elements which involve a growing awareness of one's value, developing an empathic understanding of the client's worth, and the ability to implement individualized interventions appropriate to each client. Research has shown that the strongest predictor for effective spiritual care is personal spirituality. Personal spirituality. No one can hear from what he or she does not possess. This indicates the importance of maintaining the integrity between the individual person and the role of the healthcare professional to address and meet patients' needs holistically. Therefore, the healthcare professional can both provide spiritual care and also can provide care spiritually. The majority of research comments that healthcare professionals should take an active role in meeting patients' spiritual needs and not simply referring them to a chaplain. However, it is argued that when patients need help in their theological beliefs and conflicts, then the chaplain should deliver this kind of specialized spiritual care. Hence, the importance of considering the hospital chaplain as an important collaborator to their disciplinary team, especially when prepared educationally for a chaplain's role. The Nursing and Midwifery Council and the European Qualifications Framework remind us about the responsibility of the healthcare professional to acquire the necessary skills and ability to practice competently, safely, and effectively. That an overview on the theoretical and practical education of spiritual care will be explained, derived from the literature review and also from my teaching experience in Malta and in various universities in the foreign country. Still very young out there. Personal experiences of spiritual care. My first clinical experience as a staff nurse in ICU gave me the opportunity to work with a real collegiate team. I was very fortunate to understand exactly what it means to deliver patient-centered care. By attending international conferences in my nursing professional life, I met various theorists such as Virginia Henderson, who specified the role of the nurse in holistic care by emphasizing on communication with the patient and facilitation of religious rituals to worship according to patients' own religious faith. Before departing, I remember Virginia telling me, "Stay gently at home. Keep a low profile, but give a high profile to the patient." As an old woman in the middle of us, keep a low profile, but give a high profile to the patient. Those words did guide me and my clinical practice, and also my teaching and research When I try to give priority to motivation, saving, and Shyam, we might arouse somewhat in progress. Experience teaches us. At the IGN in 2000, I met Nancy Roper, who devised Roper Zatan model of care based on Henderson's model of care. Unfortunately, the religious activity was absorbed within the communication activity of daily living, and thus its importance started to diminish along with the secularization of the contemporary society. I remember that we had some time with Nancy Roper, and since I had started my PhD research on spirituality in mental care, I do have attention about the omission of spirituality in her model of care. Following a brief with this argument, she told me, "Yes, you're right, we have just revised it." In fact, the revised version was then published in 2002. As an educator, Professor Nancy Roper called me a therapist. "The essence of nursing is you. Yes, you. Your communication with the patient and with their beliefs. See what they tell you. Think about it. And learn from it. You can make a difference in patient care." An impressive statement. So as healthcare professionals, we can make a positive difference or a negative difference with our knowledge, skills, and attitude. This is great responsibility. I repeat Roper's advice, see what they tell you, think about it, and learn from it. You can make a difference in patient care. When I used to recognize you, I used to be impressed by some answers to my question, "How are you?" One, for example, patient used to answer, "بس بس لي واحدة ثانية تلمس تلحقني This is the Maltese I still remember these words now. God gave me a warning. I deserved it. God gave me a warning. I deserved it." Being naive at that time, I used to reply, "Oh, Isabel Courage, I beg you to encourage yourself. Now that I have explored the research based on experiences of spiritual distress, and the meaning they give to their illness, I can now acknowledge the seriousness of that statement." So I confess that I was not attuned with the patient's spiritual experience at that time. So additionally, the life certainly means that the patient was feeling that he was being punished from God. This negative experience will undoubtedly need professional spiritual care, both from the chaplain and the healthcare professional. Now let's see how educational spiritual care can be carried out. Educational spiritual care, modes of clinical education on spiritual care. Intra-professional and or inter-professional education on spiritual care. Intra-professional education is when students from different levels of education in the same profession are taught together. For example, currently at the Faculty of Health Sciences in Malta, final year students work in their clinical placements with first year students under the same mentor in preparation for the formative and summative clinical assessment. Feedback from both the first and final year students is generally very satisfactory, and the intra-professional clinical experience is considered as a rich learning opportunity. This experience supports project results in clinical simulation, which support intra-professional nursing education. Interprofessional education is also defined by the Center for the Advancement of Interprofessional Education as multi-professional education, common learning, shared learning, and interdisciplinary learning. Therefore, interprofessional education refers to students from different professions learning from each other, with each other, and about each other. The WHO study group consisted of 30 education, training and quality experts issued by the WHO framework for action on interprofessional education and collaborative practice. The framework highlighted that in Brazil, and I really welcome ne uita, and hopefully many as well on the wisdom airline. The current status of interprofessional collaboration around the world identify the mechanisms that shape successful collaborative teamwork, outline a series of action items that policymakers can apply within their local health system, and provide strategies and ideas that can help policymakers implement the elements of interprofessional education and collaborative practice that will be most beneficial in their own jurisdiction. The effectiveness of interprofessional education in enabling collaborative practices is debated. Some evidence was found by research, for example, on death and dying learning and systematic reviews on the effectiveness of changing attitudes. However, more longitudinal research is needed to identify the possible effects on service, quality, and patient and service users' experience. Interprofessional education was also implemented to teach different professions, such as social workers and chaplains, and also IPA was adopted on students from different professions, such as medicine, nursing, chaplaincy, and social work. Online learning and interactive stimulation modes of teaching were adopted. Educational programs on spiritual and cultural aspects of palliative care and spiritual assessment demonstrated that concepts of spirituality and basics of spiritual assessment may be taught and learned while students were found to develop an understanding and respect for the role of chaplains, social workers, and physicians. Evaluation of these programs suggests that this innovative interprofessional education program may be transferred for use in other educational settings. Additional to the physical presence of students together in class, online forums, discussing, and outlining the contribution of each discipline to spiritual care and holistic care of a patient case study may enhance understanding and appreciation of the precious contribution of each member of the interdisciplinary team to holistic care. Some years ago, in this hall, a forum was conducted to discuss the outcome of interprofessional pilot education program on holistic care of a patient with a stroke. Both online and interactive simulation were adopted between students of different professions. Unfortunately, the hospital chaplain was neither included as part of the interdisciplinary forum panel nor part of the audience to discuss holistic care. This indicates the persistent medical model of care which challenges us to commit ourselves to include the spiritual, religious dimension of patient needs and care. Areas essential for learning spiritual care. A recent literature review identified four main areas as essential for learning spiritual care. The importance of learning in real life situations, with repeated exposure to patients in the clinical placement, supported by role modeling and mentorship. 2. Use of pedagogical methods that assist students to understand, work with, and reflect on patient spirituality, such as reflective journeys, written reflective accounts, writing care plans, which include spiritual intervention, role plays to practice spiritual assessment, including values, beliefs, and spiritual needs. Group discussions on the relationship between religion, spirituality, and health. Analysis of case studies, reading literature, and analyzing research on spirituality in illness and care. To be aware of and overcome conditions inhibiting spiritual care, learning, such as lack of knowledge about spirituality, uncertainty about the healthcare professional's role in spiritual care, unawareness about one's own spirituality, having a different faith from that of the patient, incompetence in addressing spiritual needs, lack of role models, lack of time, and work overload. To evaluate student spiritual care, learning related to how students are prepared and how they are followed up after clinical studies, by, for example, post-clinical reflection sessions, sharing of stories with fellow students, teachers, and chaplains, supporting their learning by literature and research on spiritual care, reflective exercises and debriefing sessions to enhance safety of students and safe patient care. These are reflected in the ESSIS model for action in spirituality and spiritual care education and training for teaching spiritual care by Narayana Sen. The ESSIS model incorporates a tripod of structure, content, process of learning, and outcome of education. First, the structure content encompasses self-awareness, spirituality, and spiritual dimensions of care. Secondly, the process of teaching and learning incorporates experiential learning related to value clarification, holism, a broad perspective of spirituality, the four stages of the nursing process, and the evaluation of teaching and learning. Thirdly, the outcome of education which is measured by value clarification, knowledge, and competence in the delivery of spiritual care. The foundation of this model lies on the importance of the caregiver's self-awareness about their personal spiritual beliefs, communication skills, and assessment procedures. Spirituality in this model has a truly Christian perspective. However, culture suggests in this model to incorporate other religions. Thus, culture and interdisciplinary teachers, including the chaplains, play an important role. Culture may challenge both students and the educator. Last year, I was invited to teach at the Pontifical Catholic University in Brazil. Following analysis of the definition of the concept of spirituality, a psychology student asked me, "What has motivated you to take in spirituality and spiritual care?" Having a class of young students in a quite secularized class environment, I explained my personal spirituality based on my Catholic religious background, my affiliation with the Society of Christian Education, and my clinical experience in IT, and also my clinical area of an Arabic patient in a British hospital whose prayers calmed him down post-operatively. Full explanation is given in my book, which is being available for you. At the end of the session, several students shared with me privately their religious and or their spiritual experiences in life. Some of the students attended also the research group session because they wished to investigate spirituality in their research project. And I really wish the same feeling and the same suggestion for so many students from the University of Coventry and the University of Missouri who attended this conference. Welcome, a big welcome to these students. Culture was again prominent in my teaching visit at the University of Hardcastle, Czech Republic. It was interesting to know that a paramedic student asked me the same question. What motivated you to tackle spirituality and spiritual care? Having referred to my research findings on modern patients, spiritual coping strategies, obviously some were religious coping students with an atheist background asked me, who is God? What is the relationship between God's plans in life and destiny and coincidence in life? These profound questions generated a long discussion with various students across the whole week of my stay in Pardubice. Therefore, educational healthcare professionals should prepare students to recognize and act on spiritual cues, build a trusting relationship and communication respectfully and sensitively to patients, to discover what is important to patients. Education should focus on holistic patient care with attention to spiritual and existential themes throughout the nursing program to help students integrate learning into the clinical practice. Involvement in research studies could also be a medium of learning. To explore the real experiences of patients and the resource of learning, that has tried to give the opportunity to patients to teach us from their own experiences by publishing my research and by encouraging and inviting students on research projects on spirituality. For example, my students accepted the invitation to participate in a comparative research study between Malta and Norway under the supervision of Professor Mary Carlos, who is with us, the Norway representative. Publication of these results in peer-reviewed journals gave voice to patients and healthcare professionals to have further knowledge about the importance of spirituality and culture in care. Integrating theoretical learning and spiritual care into clinical practice. This is a review on how to develop a clinical learning culture, emphasizes the importance of role model attitudes and behaviors of the healthcare professionals. Role modeling in spiritual care is a concept which is still theoretical in nature because of various reasons, such as feelings of incompetence to deliver spiritual care and secularization of the contemporary society. Bradshaw argues that spiritual care may be cause rather than cause. However, research shows that both are needed in the education of spiritual care. The clinical environment fosters integration of knowledge, clinical reasoning, and formation of students. Practice facilitates students' discovery of professional beliefs, values, and attitudes, and it assists them in integrating relevant knowledge and theories. Experiential learning and voluntary work could also be a resource of learning for healthcare professionals. As presented earlier on the interprofessional education progress, course of units and organization of short or long-term volunteer activities facilitate students from various disciplines to learn together and share their learning experiences. Optional study units at the University of Malta are open to all students of the university. However, timetables clash with each other, rendering limited mix of students. This is one of the inhibitors of interprofessional education, of which an example will be given this evening at 10 is on the call, when we shall watch the outcome of a voluntary commitment of singers and musicians from interprofessional caregivers, giving meaning to this musical performance, maintaining the coordinators' determination to keep them going till the end. And apparently, they are already certain is a meet hall, rehearsing and setting the sound correctly. Voluntary work plays an important role in students' learning in the form of community outreach. Voluntary work is acknowledged by the University of Malta degree class. That's a study unit on spiritual care for health caregivers, NUR 3903, offers the students to do a minimum of 5 hours voluntary care in the community, or accompany patients on a pilgrimage such as Lourdes in France. The experience of a group of nursing and midwifery students was impressive. It was a means of self-reflection with enhancement of altruism. They confirmed the principle of giving a decision, as they were impressed by the patient's religious faith to travel so far to a sacred place with an outcome of empowerment to cope with their illness. And this was published in their education today. Voluntary work took also the format of health promotion activity to groups of adults, mostly older persons in the community. First students delivered a 20-minute PowerPoint presentation on, for example, care of diabetes or hypertension, and then answered their queries under my supervision or under the supervision of a parishioner. The second part is asking the audience themselves to teach students, to teach us by thinking and interpreting proverbs or life experiences of which spirituality was prominent. The third part is measuring their blood pressure on a voluntary basis. Following the community outreach session, all students, average of 20 students, sit around and share their experiences using Gibbs' theory of reflection. Then an effective account is written on such an experience, which is usually a very positive learning experience. This experience may take the form of a small group of students paying a visit to a family who is taking care of a person with terminal illness at home or visiting a family, whereby the older person in the house explains how they have coped in life and how they are coming to coping at home, alone or with the support of their relatives, as informal caregivers and the support of the community services. Such a learning experience is usually interpreted by students as an experience which I will treasure for life. So as you can see here, we have a visit to this family where we experience faith, effectiveness of faith on forgiveness. Forgiveness to the person who vanished, unfortunately, the life of their son. That was a huge learning experience for students. We touched him, we gave time to talk, to listen, and to discuss, and to interrupt. These health promotion activities in the community are further extended to students' participation on an hour weekly radio program, Encourage, Not to Pay On. Courage, Double the Healing Process. You'll hear the song later on during the conference. And so we organize an educational program on radio, Marilla, in Malta. Students deliver a teaching session on health promotion in my presence and respond to public queries on telephone and text messages. The feedback on students' performance is usually very positive. The use of art in identifying the spiritual dimension of the role of the nurse in holistic care. Towards the end of the introductory study unit, for first-year students on foundations on nursing, students were invited to identify the spiritual dimension of the role of the nurse in holistic care. Look at that. By drawing their thoughts on a piece of white paper, a brief explanation was written at the back of the picture. The art exercise led them to analyze the complexity of the spiritual dimension in holistic care. After 3 years, at the end of their course program, a focus group of 30 students was conducted explaining the differences they noticed between the perceived version in the first year and the observed life holistic care in their final year of course. Explanation there was conducted on first, so these are all exploring ways and means of how to try to teach these young students, you know, to try to see the spiritual dimension of care. Experiential learning was conducted on healthcare students in their clinical places, within the institutional all their persons. Only two clients from each ward attended activity centers, leaving the majority of their persons passive, sitting all day, waiting for their meals to be served, and perhaps waiting for someone to visit and communicate with them. On paying a visit to these students under my mentorship, students were talking together at the nurse's station, and I really collapsed. While going to the residence, his teacher arrived, which of course was a learning resource for them. However, students could not understand because it was bored they experienced by all their persons every day, day in, day out, until they experienced it themselves. Permission was granted by the respective ward nursing officer and following students' consent, they were invited to experience an hour of aloneness, segregated in a room, alone for an hour. Using Cole's theory of experiential learning and Tripp's theory of receptive learning, each student stayed in a deserted room on the same ward. Without having their mobile phone, you can imagine. And without line orientation, no ball watches, no uniform watches, no clocks hanging in that room. During that hour, students were asked to reflect on their experience and write notes on a piece of paper. Boredom was experienced by the majority of students. They became frustrated that hour wasn't there. Few of them decided to write a sentence or two on that piece of paper and slept the rest of the time until the next student knocked on their door to replace them. Another two students could not cope and they left the room after about 20 minutes. Some of them first time reflecting on their life and telling the common explanation, and as you can see, they had one, the third one there. She's looking at that light and she meditated. Some of them find the time reflecting on their life and faith. The common exclamation of students on coming out of that room was, "Oh, she's very young. That's the one day will you learn that? Oh, she's very young. How boring for them." During the focus group discussion, this experience was applied to the older persons, allowed it, all day long, and confirmed the importance of communication and activity exercises to help them live with dignity. The transfer of knowledge appears to be facilitated. A written reflective account of this critical experience was submitted as part of their clinical portfolio and followed up as the necessary. The ability to be present is crucial to spiritual care. Availability, concentration, effort, and reflection allow the students to bear witness to patient suffering and do something meaningful about it, without getting immune to the patient's suffering. Ability to listen to unspoken words, accompanied by compassion and sensitivity, is part of professional presence and spiritual care. Thus, connection and building rapport with students, with patients, are fundamental for spiritual care. Assignment of a mentor in the clinical environment helps to follow up students and a one-to-one basis to help students to identify spirituality as part of the fabric of everyday patient care. This demands also good collaboration between students, lecturers, and clinical mentors for optimal learning outcomes. Nurses and healthcare professional leaders play a key role in keeping holistic care and nursing focused and creating a good learning environment. Spiritual leadership, creating a clinical environment conducive to learning spiritual care. Let us remember that personal spirituality of the caregiver was found by research as the strongest predictor for perceiving ability to provide spiritual care and to be sensitive to patients' cultural and spiritual needs and therefore quality care. Thus, the importance for students to be happy, to explore one's own spirituality, as it allows students to be more sensitive to the spirituality of others and be accountable for their actions. Research shows that students reported discomfort with self-reflection, but it should provide them with access to their own soul. Since the healthcare professionals form the major part of the clinical experience of patients, attention needs to be given to the spiritual dimension and the holistic perspective of the healthcare professional at the workplace. When personal spirituality is acknowledged, teamwork regenerates a peaceful environment with enhanced patient care, incorporating also the individual patient's spirituality in their care. To sustain such an environment and self-development, the managers need to link their personal life values and the educators' values to the respective university values, which may eventually pass on these values to the student, resulting in spirituality, growth of both students and educators. Then the spiritual leadership. To identify second dimensions of spiritual leadership, which may be applied to an environment conducive to learning, which are vision, altruistic love, hope and faith, membership, meaning calling, organizing, commitment, and productivity. And I've got this full paper which will be available. So I'm trying to skip and go to the conclusion. So it's very important to also to be able to address the vocation, the calling, which even Her Excellency, the President this morning, mentioned it. We need to identify our personal call, how we were attracted to nursing. Research shows that while 20% of the factors of success depend on staff members' efforts, 80% of success may depend on their motivation at work. Job motivation creates a challenge for organizations who recruit staff members with low levels of motivation to their commitment. Thus, motivation triggered by the individual's spirituality appears to be the most important factor for better performance that contributes towards achievement of goals and focus on their commitment at work, such as to work collegially in the delivery of holistic care and dedication on holistic care. So, recommendation that you also, Robertson, facilitation of reflection in practice, role modeling, so clinical studies, you have all the paper written available to you. Assessment of clinical skills in spiritual care, dialogue, clinical and educational organization, further research is important in fact of personal spirituality on patient care, spiritual support to students and caregivers, spiritual leadership, addressing ethical issues, and further action and evaluative research on intra and interprofessional education. Awareness of the sacredness of our profession and clinical environment is needed. So this is a quotation by Padre Pio. And I'm saying it in Maltese first. Io vi restavo dal Chiesa, il paziente o al tabernacle. When comparing the hospital to a sanctuary, the patient is the tabernacle. So awareness of the sacredness of our profession and also of this hospital environment. A recent study which will soon be published in the Health Education Today, which was referred to it by Professor Angela Schmieder, confirmed that educational spiritual care was the stronger study care of the nurses and midwives' perceived confidence in spiritual care. Coming to this confidence will give us a boost to be change agents. Let's think of the possible ultimate outcome of spiritual care. So this is adapted from the 14th Dalai Lama. If you reform your spiritual self, you will reform your professional care, based on research. If you reform your professional care, you will reform your holistic care. If you reform your holistic care, you will reform your spiritually. And if we do, if we give, if we all give a little, it will make a difference.